Hashem gave you these kids because he trusted you with these kids. You are not by definition inept until you get wisdom from some outsider. You know, you will by definition learn this rhythm and dance with your child. You'll figure it out together, you know, and I'm of course in favor of garnering wisdom from wherever you go, but never to discount your own, you know, Yetzer HaTov, your own voice of wisdom, the own voice of your neshama, your own, you know, because nobody knows your kid better than you do. The parenting teacher doesn't know your kid the way you do. The teacher doesn't know your kid the way you do.
Hi, I'm Alex Fletcher.
And I'm Rivki Silver.
And this is Deep Meaningful Conversations, powered by Town Appliance.
Alex and I wear a lot of hats.
We're both writers.
And speakers.
And so many other things, mothers, wives, friends, and active community members.
We love using our skill sets to bring you the best guests to share their wisdom, perspective, and advice on relevant topics.
And we love schmoozing about the topics that are on our mind, and hopefully yours too. Like one listener said, DMC is like hanging out with friends for coffee and talking about the stuff we're all thinking about.
So whatever you're doing while listening to our podcast, thanks for joining us for a DMC.
Welcome everyone to Deep Meaningful Conversations. You'll notice now that we're going to be including some advertising on our podcast, and we are really looking forward to letting you know about products and services that are in line with the lifestyle and values of Jewish women like ourselves. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, we are so excited to introduce our 2023 yearly sponsor for DMC, Town Appliance. Ooh. We thank them so much for putting their trust in us, DMC. So if you're in the market for any home appliance, here's why you need to know about Town Appliance. They're completely different to typical big box stores, which we might automatically go to first as we're looking for that new washing machine online. Am I like the only one that's like Lowe's, Home Depot?
No, that's literally what I did when I needed a dryer a few years ago. Exactly. I wish I had known about Town Appliance then.
So I think what makes Town Appliance different is they really sell you what you need, not just what you want. Meaning their customer service actually wants to hear what it is that you're looking for, what your price points are, what features you're interested in. And then they work with the customer so that she feels that she purchased the perfect appliance that's really meeting all of her needs.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really a completely different sales experience. Town Appliance has some gorgeous showrooms. They're located in Lakewood, Cedarhurst, and Baltimore, but they do offer free shipping for orders over $1,000. So check out our show notes for their website and contact information. And thank you, Town Appliance, for helping us bring DMC to our listeners.
Yes, thank you. So the other day I was driving carpool, a Minion carpool, and all the boys were talking about 24/6 in the car. They were like, do you have it? Do you have it? 24/6 is our sponsor for today's episode of DMC. It is an entertainment platform built for the Jewish family, customized by you. It's the only media streaming platform with customizable options that enables you and your family to enjoy your entertainment with your values in mind and worry-free. I love that because on, you know, other platforms, like you can look for, even on the page itself, it's like got stuff that I don't want to see, I don't want to look at, I don't want to think about. This is just amazing content. With 24/6, you can access the most popular Jewish music, videos, and podcasts, and you can create personalized entertainment experiences customized with their filters for each family member. You can also download content to listen to anytime, anywhere. 24/6 features the ability to curate playlists and libraries with your favorite songs, podcasts, and videos, and also has access to popular public playlists. Yes, please. Like an Erev Shabbos playlist. Ooh. Don't we all need that? I love that. You'll also get real-time updates on new releases of your favorite artists or podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are on 24/6, of course. 24/6 is guided every step of the way by Das Torah and is designed for you to customize and decide what fits your family hashgafas. Please check out our show notes for 24/6's website and all the info you'll need to start your customizable Jewish media experience. Okay, let's get this DMC started.
So excited to be talking with Rivki Koval today about parenting. Well, the things we wish we learned during our parenting classes.
Yes.
And I must add, as we get older and wiser, those things we see are often left out of parenting classes, right?
Yes. Yes. This episode was actually born out of a WhatsApp chat conversation between the three of us. Truly, what's that, chats make great fodder for podcast episodes, do they not?
That is so true. I really should actually scour my WhatsApp chats and find some juicy new episode ideas for us. Anyway, we get a lot of feedback that our listeners want to hear more episodes about parenting, about marriage, which we really hope to provide more this new calendar year, alongside a whole bunch of great new content that's planned out.
So much new content. I'm so excited.
Yeah. We never have like a limit of what to DMC about, which is what's so fun about this.
We really don't. Like it's endless.
It is. Anyway, so we figured, you know, let's talk about the important stuff that isn't talked enough about when it comes to parenting. And that's our angle today.
Yes. And we are so lucky that Ruchi lives in Cleveland. So we actually got to sit down together for this DMC instead of doing it via Zoom, which is what we have to do most of the time. In case you don't know the awesomeness that is Ruchi Koval, Ruchi is the co-founder and associate director of Congregation JFX, an innovative community in Cleveland, Ohio. She has been a Jewish educator for 2 decades, leading self-development groups for adults and teens and mentoring educators around the world. Ruchi is a certified parenting coach, motivational speaker, musician. We were in a band together actually many years ago. Yes. Author and mother of 7. She is a trip leader for Momentum, inspiring hundreds of women on their journeys in Israel. She is also the author of Soul Construction, which you will see linked to in our show notes when we interviewed her in season 1. Mm, yeah, I think.
Way back when,
yeah.
So we're curious about what it's like, you know, being in the limelight as a parent coach when you're in the middle of your own parenting stuff.
Yes.
I would not sign up for that.
No.
And we're also really curious to hear, based on Ruchi's extensive experience as a coach and as a mom of 7, what key topics she feels are either not emphasized enough or missing entirely from parenting classes today. She has the credibility, that's for sure.
Absolutely. At the end of this episode, we hope you will have gained some empathy, validation, and more tools for your toolbox in your parenting journey. And here is our DMC with Ruchi Koval. Welcome, Ruchi, to DMC. It's very exciting to be DMCing all under the same roof right now.
I know. This is fun. Yeah. It's like an actual DMC.
That's right. Not a virtual one. So tell us about Ruchi Koval these days. What are you up to? What a question.
So it's actually interesting you say this, because it used to be that when people said to me, how are you doing? I would think to myself, well, what are all my kids up to? Mm. And that will be the answer to how I'm doing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And even now, when you asked me that, I sort of went into parent mode, but I've taught myself that that's not necessarily how I'm doing. So I'm going to tell you how I'm doing.
Mm. Excellent.
And what I'm doing. So Baruch Hashem, my husband and I have started our own shul, and we are very much in full mode with that. We bought a building about 1.5 years ago, and so we are full steam ahead with that, with our congregation and our community. I just got back from Israel running a Momentum trip. I brought 10 women from Cleveland, which is different for me. I usually go as a speaker for the group, not with my own cohort from Cleveland. So that was really cool and fun. And I'm like still on a high from that. Oh my gosh. I'm in the middle of working on my 3rd book.
Oh, wow.
Is this where you announce it? Because I didn't know this.
I don't know. It's like, I haven't done like a big reveal exactly, but it's my writing is so slow because I have to fit it in around everything else that I'm doing. You know, like sometimes I look at full-time authors and I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous. Like you just write all day. But then I'm like, but wait, but then I wouldn't be able to do everything else that I do. So no, not jealous.
Mm. Yeah.
But my writing is very, like my publisher asked me, so just curious, when do you think you might have the first draft ready? And I'm like, in 1 year?
Yeah.
So this is going to be a daily reader based on Pirkei Avos.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I'm excited.
I'm really excited about. As far as I'm aware, nothing like that exists.
Mm. What does that mean, a daily reader?
Like January 1st, here's what you read. Here's a little action goal. January 2nd, here's what you read. Here's a little action goal.
Uh-huh. So like similar to what the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation did, like Shmir Selashon.
Exactly. But this is going to cover Pirkei Avos.
I love that.
So it's a very cool project and I'm really excited about it.
Can I pre-order?
Yes. So working on that. I'm working on being less of a perfectionist. Although that might take the rest of my life.
Mm. You have so much on your plate. It must be hard. Just in terms of your like day, how do you decide, well, now I'm going to write and now I'm doing my parenting coaching and now I'm doing my Momentum work and your teaching. How does that, what does your day look like?
I'm super scheduled. Mm. So everything that I do has a place. Like going to Costco has a place in my calendar. Don't laugh at me.
Wow. Well, it won't get done.
No, it won't get done. But that also means like, but I also want to be spontaneous. Like if a friend says, hey, let's get together. But I've just realized to accept that I'm just not that spontaneous. Mm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's accepting my imperfection. Because you can't, I can't, like be super organized and scheduled and also be spontaneous. So I could try to be more spontaneous. Like, you know, if someone says to me, hey, do you want to do something? And I'll look at my calendar and say, okay, so I won't go to Costco today. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll order from Instacart and pay another $45,000. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it's sacrifices. It's all about,
right.
I shouldn't say sacrifices. It's all about like training priorities. Today, this is more important to me. Today, that's more important to me.
Right.
Today, it's more important for me for my house to be clean. Today, it's more important for me to spend time with my daughter. Mm. You know, so that's what it's constant trading. But I am super scheduled. Everything goes in my calendar. Everything has a reminder. I'm always getting things done. So I'm trying to be less of a perfectionist. Like if something doesn't get done or doesn't get done on my standard, that's okay. And that's really hard for me. Mm-hmm. I know you guys have talked about this on previous episodes, but that's something I'm actively working on right now. Yeah, kind of those are my big projects at the moment.
Nice.
Wow. So you are a parenting coach, which we just discussed, you know, addition to all of your other roles. I love to hear how you like decided, like, did someone decide like, I'm an amazing parent, I'm going to become a parent coach, or like, wow, this is really hard, I'm working on this and I can share the lessons that I've learned. Like, what was that process like for you?
So the idea really came up when I was at somebody's house, this must go back 10 years, and she was having an issue with her kid. And I had already experienced that issue with my kid, and I felt like I had a pretty good approach that worked for me, and I was sharing it with her, and she says, you should be a parenting coach, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that whole thing like, oh, I'm a really great parent, I should be a parenting coach, I think that's a mistaken equation to make. And I don't know if you guys follow Bleamy Hiller. Mm-hmm.
She was on.
We actually interviewed her, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah. I have to listen to that one.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it was so,
so
good.
I love her stuff, and I also very much respect her as a person. And she has shared this, you know, sort of insecurity where like, oh, putting myself out there as a parent coach or giving parenting advice, does that mean that I have to be a perfect parent? Mm. No. It means that I have wisdom that others could gain from, and therefore I'm going to share it with them, mm-hmm. right? Just like if I write a daily reader on Pirkei Avos, does that mean that I have all the teachings in Pirkei Avos nailed? Not really. Not by a long shot. It just means that I've taught it and learned it many times, and I have insights that I feel could be valuable to others. And frankly, sharing those insights, whether in parenting or Pirkei Avos, is good for me because then it helps me to be a better parent. So she said this to me, oh my gosh, you should be a parenting coach. And then I was like, you know what? I think I would really enjoy that. I really get a lot of satisfaction from helping to guide others. And so I got myself certified as a parenting coach. It was like a really Mickey Mouse program online. Like I was like, well, where's the test that I take? You know, I'm such a student. They're right, like,
exactly.
There is no test. I'm like, so I basically take this course and then you certify me as a parenting coach? Yep, that's it.
Wow. Well, I love that you're going on the record about this.
No, it was so lame. And I have to tell you, I actually advertised for a short time in the Cleveland Jewish News that I'm a parenting coach. The first 10 people who called me were like, oh, how did you get certified as a parenting coach? I also want to. I was like, do we have to talk about that part of it? Because that part of it was pretty lame. But actually, most of what I know that I share in my parenting is what I have, A, learned from other people, and B, learned the hard way from making my own mistakes. Mm. And you can't get that on any course, you know? So that's really that my parent coaching has really changed a lot over the years. And also at this point, it's really just sharing hard won wisdom from like, you try this and it really doesn't work. And then you learn
that doesn't work.
And I'm not going to do that, you know? Or if a parent asks me a question that's totally above my pay grade, or that's too complicated for me, I'm not, you know, equipped to deal with that, I'll just be honest with them and say, you know, this is not something that I'm comfortable guiding you on. Maybe you need a professional, you know, someone to help you professionally, or maybe somebody else, but I'm not, you know, equipped.
So I'd imagine there's this balance of the knowledge that you've learned, but also your personal experience. It only ends a certain place, meaning you said you may have tried a certain tactic on your child and it didn't work. How then do you say, well, it might work for another parent or another child? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it can't necessarily always be implemented in the same way because we are different parents and we have different children.
So it's not just like, oh, I tried this once with one kid. Mm. First of all, I have thank God, 7 kids. But apart from that, it's also through years of coaching other parents and seeing what works for them.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, it's like that with anything. If you go to a doctor, a dentist, who, you know, whoever has had many, many, many experiences, you know, they have at their fingertips sort of this mosaic of experiences that they're looking at from a big picture, you know, or a teacher in a classroom who has taught, you know, 200 10-year-olds, they'll have a different, you know, kind of wisdom on 10-year-olds than me, who currently has one 10-year-old, right? So they might look at the whole scope of 10-year-olds and say, well, this is normal, this is not normal. You know, so through the years, as I've dealt with parents and seen what works and what doesn't work, I have a much stronger sense. It's not just about my own little laboratory and my own little family.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right, and I imagine this is something when you're talking about, you know, the trial and error aspect of parenting, I feel like this is something that maybe no one really wants to think about, the fact that we are inherently experimenting on our kids, and sometimes we will do, and then we will make mistakes. And that is part of the parenting process.
Well, it's part of the scientific process. Oh, and right, parenting is hardly a science.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, in a sense, we don't accept trial and error in certain areas of our life, which is really unfair. I mean, that's how the best things have been invented.
Right.
I mean, peanut butter and chocolate. Right? Wasn't that invented by accident? But apart from that, I think that it's sort of this, you know, self-forgiveness, because it really is Russian roulette, and every parent is different. Every kid is different. I'm a different parent. I had my first kid when I was 20. I had my last kid when I was 36. Wow. I'm not the same parent.
Right.
And I've told my oldest overtly, I'm like, you are my guinea pig, and I make mistakes on you. Right. You are the first one to do anything.
Anything. Right.
You know, and she's like,
isn't that when
I know.
They get like a bigger Yerusha or something? Isn't that like, doesn't the In first theory. One get something? because they are.
That's interesting. So
But I've also told her, you know, but you also got the most energetic and full attention part of me.
True.
Right? So I think that's also a big part of parenting, you know, especially when we talk about trial and error. You got to bring Amuna into the picture, right? Why did I make mistakes? I didn't wake up this morning and say, hey, let's take some mistakes today. You know, of course not. Every day I woke up and tried to be a good parent. So if this kid got, you know, the most energetic and also the most inexperienced version of me, well, Hashem knew what he was doing when he gave that to me as my first kid, you know, and my kid who's all the way at the bottom, at the youngest, you know, she got, you know, the most tired, slightly burnt out, and also super experienced version of me. You know, she also got a ton of older siblings who adore her. So Hashem knew what he was doing. You have to remember that.
Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about that, Alex, about how, like, with our fifth, our youngest are both the same age, and about how they, you know, they're not getting like all the museum experiences that our oldest get, but they have this, you know, but they have this entire, you know, cheering squad and this entire fan club of people who are obsessed with them, you know, and that's priceless. So. Right.
And also, I think it's important, like you said, like Hashem designed this way, all of us experience this as that first parent. When I think back about like what I didn't understand, like there's so many concepts of parenting that it wasn't even part of my consciousness, but that's how it was meant to be. Because how could you be, you know, how could you have experience or awareness of these ideas, you know, or you may have read them, but they don't resonate because you really don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And you're still forming yourself.
Right.
You know?
That's true too.
We did touch on this a little bit when we're talking about Blimi Heller, but when things are challenging with your own children, you know, how does that affect your confidence in your own parent coach abilities? And you know, this is what you had said about, do you feel like your parenting and your children are in the limelight when you put yourself out there as someone who can give hadracha and who can give coaching and who can give advice to other parents?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I mean, there's the in theory answer and the in practice answer. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the in theory answer first. In theory, what makes anyone a good parent? The fact that they're trying their hardest to be a good parent. And they're trying their hardest to learn from their mistakes, to be supportive, to be loving, to put down appropriate boundaries, to be available for their kids mentally and emotionally. So, you know, we went through a time in our parenting where a lot of things were going awry, like a lot of really big, challenging parenting issues. And really, the only thing that makes me look like a good or bad, not makes me look, it's not really about the look. The only thing that defines me as a good parent is, how did I respond to those challenges? And when I look back at how I responded and continue to respond to those challenges,
I'm actually really proud of myself. Hmm. Even when I think about the things that I did that I regret because I didn't have the tools that I have today, I'm still proud of me because I did the best I could with the tools I had. That's in theory. Hmm. In practice, I had a huge identity crisis. And I was like, who am I to get up here and tell anybody anything when my family life is imploding? I am a fraud. I'm an imposter. I'm a fake. I'm a hypocrite. You know, we tell ourselves the most horrible things. And it was really like, it was really an identity crisis. I did believe that I was inept, that the things that were happening to me defined me. And it takes a ton of inner work. And by inner work, I mean emotional, I mean psychological, and I mean spiritual work to keep that truth in your head. What happens to me doesn't define me. It's how I respond to it that defines me. And even if I don't respond to it well the first time, the second time, the third time, that still doesn't define me. That means I am a human being who makes mistakes. That means that I am a human being who is fallible, who's normal, who struggles when things are hard. Okay, now what? Now what are you going to do? Are you going to pick yourself up and learn from your mistakes? Are you going to say, I don't want to make the same mistakes again. Let's make new mistakes. Am I going to learn from my experiences? Am I going to do better? Am I going to apologize? Am I going to be humble? That's what makes you a good parent.
That's a lot.
I know. I'm just going to sit with that. No, and I think that that's something that we all, there is this concept of like, if we just do A, B, and Z and plug that equation into our parenting, then we will get the results that we want. Right. And
yeah. And I have to tell you something, that message is everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
It's really, it's at a lot of educational events. It's at a lot of simchas. People will get up there and say things like, look at this amazing, all of 13 years old bar mitzvah boy. Must be, he has great parents. What's the corollary there? That if they're not great parents, the kid's not great. Or if the kid's not great, every Jewish child is great. If the kid's not great, the parent's not great.
Right.
Well, that's not true. There are parents who put blood, sweat, and tears into their kids and they struggle and suffer. So I think it's actually really important for us as a society, you know, to really check these messages. They're not true. Cause and effect in parenting is a lie. We have to be good parents because Hashem told us to, because Hashem wants us to emulate him. Hashem wants us to be kind and caring and forgiving and to give second chances and to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all of that. What happens at the end of the line? That's not in our hands. There are a thousand factors that go into that. But we do. We make, oh, look at these parents raising their kids with Yiddishkeit. Oh, okay, their kids are going to grow up to be Talmidei Chachamim. Maybe they will, and maybe they won't. That's not the point. Mm. We're not God. We're just supposed to try to be like God.
Mm. So the idea that children are a reflection of ourselves and our efforts.
Ugh, so dangerous. Right. For so many reasons.
Think about, I know a number of special people who are products of broken homes or abusive homes. I mean, like, think of that corollary.
Right.
You know? Like, you'd imagine this kid is complete, you know, is suffering, is not together. I mean, it's through the grit of being in that environment that, and their self-will and their self-choice and their bechira that they've been able to come out of.
And sometimes
it's
just the constitution Hashem gave them. Mm. Right. Hashem made certain people really resilient. Hashem made certain people really sensitive and fragile.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know, so this whole recipe model, you know, oh, plug in A, Y, and Z, you know, it's like, oh, Hashem is a vending machine. I'm going to throw in my cash and out comes my Diet Coke. Real life is not like that.
Right. I think as young parents, we try so hard to curate our children's lives and their experiences and making sure everything's just right because we have this faulty notion that like, oh, if I only do it just X, Y, right. Z this way, I'm going to control the outcome.
Well, in the beginning, it very often is like that.
Because they're little.
Because, yeah, I'm going to put them in this car seat and I'm going to drive them to doctor and then they're going to wear these clothes. I mean, sometimes even as infants, our kids stymie us. Like, why are they not swallowing? Why are they choking? Why aren't they thriving? Right. Why, you know, why don't they have have hair yet. You know, but in a general sense, we basically lift them and put them where we want them.
Right, right.
You know? So we're like, oh, I'm in charge of this adorable child. Exactly. And I'm going to put them in this super cute outfit with just the right hat of this decade and take the right picture, put it on Instagram. Look at me. My kid is cute. Mm-hmm. And then they get older and it's like, you just can't do. And some parents never stop trying to do that.
Agreed.
But I'm just going to keep trying to get that recipe right.
Right.
Yeah, but your kid's not a recipe.
Right, right, right. You can't control them.
For sure. And I'm also thinking, hold on, the thought's going to form in my head in a second. But it's tricky because it's like, I feel like there's that nuance between like, 100%. I agree with everything, all of this. You know, Hashem is not a vending machine situation and you can't control the outcome of your kids. But at the same time, like, there is...
Can I make a suggestion of what I think you might be trying to say?
Tell me what I'm trying to say.
Okay, roughly. I think this is what you're trying to say, and forgive me if I'm being presumptuous.
No, you're probably right.
There's a phrase in Vegas, the house always wins, right? Mm. Statistically, if you go to Las Vegas and go to the casinos, and I know this because I did one time go, never need to go back there ever again. Okay, so they have a brochure sitting on the counter of every casino in Vegas that lists all the odds of winning and losing. The odds of winning are extremely low. There's a reason that casinos make money.
Right.
Right. And the catchphrase is the house always wins. The house wins the most of the time. That's why casinos make money. So when you apply that to parenting, the house always wins, which means what? And by always, we don't mean always. We just mean overall, because, right, otherwise nobody would ever go to casinos if nobody ever made money.
Right.
But overall, the house wins. There is a correlation when you put in hishtadlus into your kids. You are raising the odds of them catching your values. That's the point, right? When we talk about parenting, it's called chinuch, right? Chinuch means to be mechanech, to train. We're training our kids in appropriate values. Why is there a mitzvah to have children? Where we want to give over our values, our mesorah, to the next generation so there will be good people left in this world when we're gone. And we want to empower them to give over those values to the next generation and on and on and on, right? I'm not saying there is zero correlation between giving your kids good values. Of course, you treat your kids with respect. You try to have good shalom bias. You try to give them what they need without indulging. You know, you try to do all these things that we try to do as parents, right? And by teaching them values, that of course raises the odds that you will have emotionally adjusted, psychologically healthy, spiritually inspired children, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not this recipe. You're raising the odds. It's like that with everything. It's like that with shalom bias. It's like that with parnasa. You have to do your hishtadlus, right? Try not to pick fights with your husband. You know, try to do your best to, you know, dress not, well for the interview, you know, to make a good impression so that you'll get the job. But we know it's all in Hashem's hands. Of course we have to do our, I'm not saying, God forbid, throw it all out the window, because there is no correlation whatsoever. The way I look at it is, we're raising the odds because parents do have an enormous amount of power. We have an enormous amount of power to help our kids with self-esteem and to give them a positive connection to Yiddishkeit, to make Yom Tovim joyous, to make Shabbos special, you know, to make them feel valuable and important and to be there for them emotionally. Of course, God forbid, I'm not discounting that at all. I'm just saying to look at it as this direct cause and effect is damaging and dangerous. And we don't do this in any other aspect of life, but we always talk about parenting this way. Mm. You know?
Interesting.
We don't say, oh, look at this beautiful couple. They obviously worked really hard on their shalom bias. It's a present from Hashem. Mm. Of course you can mess it up, you know? And I'll actually give you an example from the Torah. You know, Avraham Avinu had like a really problematic child, right? I have never, not that I know the whole Torah or anywhere near, I have never seen any commentary insinuate or state overtly that it was Avram's fault.
Fascinating.
But what do we do?
Right.
We look at kids and we're like, who raised them? Must have learned that at home.
Or where was that mom?
Yeah, where's the mother? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Where's the precedent for this?
Wow, Rechi, that's really profound.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about the attachment theory? There's been a lot of back and forth in the pages of Mishpacha in terms of our responsibility the steps that we can take or we never took in terms of how attached we are and close we are and there and available to our children when they're young and how that might play out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I read it all. And I listened to a podcast with Rabbi Shimon Russell about this, whom I respect enormously. I can't wait to read his new book. Look, somebody I think recently wrote a letter, maybe it was this past week. When you're a hammer, everything is a nail. If you're a trauma therapist, everything is trauma. If you're an attachment theory person, everything is that. If you're, you know, a mental health person, you see everything through that lens. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that human beings are a mosaic. We're not one thing, you know? And I also think that there's a lot of, you know, blue sky between saying, gosh, my parents actually weren't that validating when I was growing up, you know? Like, I would say to them, oh, my school is so hard. And they would say, yeah, I had to do it too. Come on, buckle down. This is how you're going to get a job in life. You have to learn grit, blah, blah, right? So acknowledging that maybe, oh, sweetheart, I'm so sorry it's so hard for you. Let me sit with you and rub your back while you do your homework. If I sound a little cynical, it's because I'm not great at attachment. It's a struggle. But okay, there's a lot of blue sky between acknowledging that perhaps we didn't get 100% of what we needed growing up and blaming our parents for our ills, right? And while I think attachment is extremely powerful and a very important part of being a human being, and it's something that I've tried very hard to do as a mother, even though it really doesn't come naturally to me, I'm more of like, I'm a perfectionist, I'm a fixer, I have high standards for myself and others. It's something I've really had to teach myself.
It's relatable content.
I'm going to stay silent.
okay, I'm in good company. But I've tried my best to do that. I know facts. My kids can list plenty of things that I didn't do or that I didn't get right. And the reason for that is that I am human. Yeah. And Hashem gave us two human parents for a reason. So I think that it's an important thing. It's not everything. Human beings are comprised of a lot of things. We need to be forgiving unless parents were horrible or abusive, right. God forbid. But other than that, we need to be forgiving of the humanness of our parents. We will also be very human to our kids, right? And again, that goes back to the Amunah factor. You know, Hashem gave me the parents I needed. I am the parents my kids needed. Of course, we should all try to be, you know, as good parents as we can. So I think the attachment thing is getting a lot of attention right now because I don't want to say trend, but like trauma was the trend like 5 years ago, and now attachment is the trend. And anything that makes a parent improve is good. As soon as we start beating ourselves up and feeling discouraged or like this job is impossible, I can never get it right, that is not Jewish. Mm.
I think we all want to have some hook to hang our head on. It feels good. Like, we cracked it.
Right.
Like, we figured out, like, this is the essence. This is the root of everything. But like you said in the beginning, like, things are just much more
things are so complicated. Right? And I think even the Jewish world is starting to get wind of this. Like, I will tell you, a number of years ago, I reached out to one of the magazines, and I offered to write an anonymous diary about having kids who are no longer from.
Wow.
And we went back and forth for a while. I wasn't really even sure that I wanted to do it, if I was ready to do it, blah, blah. But one of the things that they wanted me to do was to incorporate why they weren't from anymore.
Mm. Like, you know?
That was a deal breaker. That was the deal breaker for me. I said, I can't do that.
Wow.
First of all, I don't know why. And second of all, I dislike the premise upon which that condition is based. Because you're right. What happens when we see bad things happening to other people? Or I'll just speak for myself. I try to think like, oh, but I don't do that. Okay, but right. I don't have that. But yeah. In our family, this. So I'm okay.
Or like, oh, so then I won't do that.
Right.
Like
right.
Something like, oh,
right.
They did I'll X, just, well, I'll do Z. Right. Like, you know, yeah.
Right. And part of that is the perfectionism. Like if I just do everything right and check every box and avoid every pitfall, you know, and every reason. Oh, it's because kids have undiagnosed ADHD. Okay, no problem. I got my kid diagnosed when he was 4. Do I win? You know? Guess what? That's not gonna do it. You can't check every box. This is called real life. Real life is messy and complicated. Mm-hmm. And even if you're going to avoid some pitfalls, you're going to walk right into others. So I think there was this push for like, let's get the reason down pat, you know, and then we can proceed. Now it's kosher, mm-hmm. you know, right. But I think that there's more awareness, you know, it's like saying, well, I want to know why people get divorced. What do you mean people get divorced? You have 1,000 people. There's 1,000 reasons. Yeah. You know, you have 1,000 children. You have 1,000 reasons. And of course, the experts will tell you there are some factors that weave through struggles. And that's true, you know. But there's almost this perfectionistic. Right now, perfectionism is my thing. So yeah. I'm the hammer and everything is
it's
the nail.
It's about control also. We're just seeking totally. Control. And we
and
cannot
it's societal.
This.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How can we make our society more perfect?
Right.
I despise the word perfect. Mm. My mother-in-law always says perfection is only for Hashem.
Mm. I love that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I even don't like it when I'm like talking to somebody. I'm like, okay, so do you want to meet at 4? And they're like, oh, okay, perfect. I'm like,
ew. Mentally scrolling through all the times that I have said this to Rafi.
I even find myself saying it sometimes. So but I'm allergic to the word. Yeah. No, it's not perfect. It will never be perfect. Nothing is perfect.
That's right. Yeah. Love that.
Okay, let's take a little break here to acknowledge our sponsors. So what I love about Town Appliance is that they're really offering a customized experience for the firm shopper. I have a friend here in Cleveland who was renovating her kitchen, and when she told me how she just shipped her appliances from the Lakewood store and how simple it was, I was really impressed. Besides all the details such as Shabbos mode, et cetera, that you want to be clear about, which it's not always so simple to do if you're just like navigating a website with no help at all, like forget it. It's also really nice to work with a Frum company who's going to appreciate how many loads your washing machine is going to need to take and how often we use our ovens. Town Appliance offers all brands, all models, and for all budgets. So it is really the obvious choice here. Give them a call and see how they can help you find the appliance that you really need.
And now for our episode sponsor, 24/6. So let's say you don't have a smartphone or you don't want your kids hogging yours when they're using 24/6 that you just recently downloaded. Well, there's a device for that. 24/6 has a family player, which hosts only the app. It's the first ever 100% kosher streaming device. So you can literally hand the 24/6 player to your family without thinking twice, knowing that they can access pre-approved and vetted content.
Amazing.
The device has no browser, has no camera, has no SIM card. You know how it used to be like you have to have all the things? Well, now we don't want any of them.
We're all downsizing.
And the family player also, it just does only one thing, play 24/6 with all your customized content. So it's also a great gift for any occasion. So go ahead, check out our show notes for all the info you need about purchasing the family player. You also need to download that app and also learn about those 24/6 subscription packages. Okay. Back to our DMC with Ruchi Koval. So, you know, the whole reason why we are having this interview is because we had a WhatsApp chat, the three of us, and we were just schmoozing about parenting, and we were talking about, wow, there's so many things that we get wrong in our parenting classes, and there are so many things that we wish were emphasized that are in our parenting classes, and then all of a sudden it was like, wait, ding, that will be a perfect DMC. So that's what we're really bringing to this conversation. So let's talk about that. Ruchi, what do you think are some key topics that are either missing entirely from parenting classes or not emphasized enough? Like if you could create your masterclass in parenting, what would you cover?
Okay. So I think that parenting classes are very focused on the kids, which is great, right? That's what it's for. How do we help our kids? But I think that parental support is lacking. I don't think parents hear enough. You're okay. It's okay if you make mistakes. You're not going to break the baby, you know? And this is something that I've seen Blimi Heller do recently on her account, because she'll post things like, here's what the 2-year-old feels like when they're going through it. Here's what the 5-year-old feels like. You know, and you read these. I read them and weep.
Yes.
These poor fictional children. They're suffering.
It's very powerful.
You know, and then I'll think to myself, when have I done that?
Yeah.
When have I said that? When do I still do that and say that? You know, and she'll bring in, you're not going to break them. Figure it out, do better, apologize. You know, you can be resilient and they can be resilient. And I don't think parents hear that enough. Mm. Your mistakes are not catastrophic. You're not a terrible human being because you lost it on your kid. Mm. You're not a terrible human being because you said things that were supremely stupid. You're really not. And I think, I don't think there's enough of that. I also think that today's parents, because they have access to all of this information, like, have you met a single good parent who's not taking a parenting class? Mm. They have begun to doubt their own intuition. Mm. I don't trust myself, but what does the parenting teacher say? But what does the expert say? You know, sometimes young marrieds do this with college teachers, like, but my college teacher said, okay, but do you have any intuition in there?
Right.
You know, when I start my parenting classes, I very much emphasize, you know, and it could be other people do this too. I'm not saying this is missing entirely. I'm just saying I haven't felt enough of this. I really try to start with empowering kids with this concept that Hashem gave you these kids because he trusted you with these kids. You are not by definition inept until you get wisdom from some outsider. You know, you will by definition learn this rhythm and dance with your child. You'll figure it out together, you know, and I'm of course in favor of garnering wisdom from wherever you go, but never to discount your own, you know, Yetzer HaTov, your own voice of wisdom, the own voice of your neshama, your own, you know, because nobody knows your kid better than you do. The parenting teacher doesn't know your kid the way you do. The teacher doesn't know your kid the way you do. And this is even true, like if somebody asks a Rav a Shaila and a Rav gives an answer and deep inside themselves they're like, but wait, but that I don't understand it. I can't do that, but that doesn't work for me. So have a dialogue with your Rav. Don't ignore that voice. Bring it up and say, but wait, but I don't understand. I can't see myself applying this. Okay, let's dialogue now and figure this out. I think young parents have gotten so used to outsourcing parenting to an expert that they've dulled their own voice.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. So I had that experience. I took a class as a young parent about how to get your kids to listen and listen to your kids. What's that?
How to talk to your kids so your kids will listen.
And listen so kids will talk or something like that, whatever. And this had
– class was not how to remember the name of the
obviously
class.
Obviously not. I won't be linking this in the show notes. So I remember being like blown away by this punishment discussion. You know, it's consequences, it's not punishment. And I very much – I don't know if it was intuition or just what I thought I understood from parenting, or maybe it was just some old-fashioned notion of you're meant to punish your children when they do something wrong. And then – the whole class like opened up this whole understanding of why children behave the way they do and then therefore how to respond, understanding the reasons why children behave. But I remember feeling that conflict of like, I don't know if that was intuition or just stuff that I had picked up along the way that I thought was right. And then hearing a class giving me new notions, opening up my mind to that, it puts you in a really weird position because you don't know if it's your intuition that you're trusting or something else.
Right.
And then maybe you need to be educated and learn something else and be open to something else.
And I think it becomes Torah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I have to do that now because the expert said, or whatever parenting book is trending. That's my new Torah.
I hear. I think part of it's also like trial and error. Like, try the new theory. How does it feel? How does it make you feel? It may take you a year to like really come up with your conclusion about it.
Right.
You know, but like it's just going to be a lot of experimenting and trial and error.
Right. And I also feel like particularly parenting books that are written, I feel like in order to publish a parenting book, you have to come up with some new bold statement that nobody has said before, you know, go where no parent has gone before. So the tone of the parenting books are very often kind of forceful. This is what everyone has to do. And this is what everyone has to know. You know what I mean? As opposed to saying, here's an approach. Try it. Right. See what you think. That doesn't sell books.
I hear. Right.
That's one of the reasons why we loved Blimey, because she's like, "This if this doesn't speak to you, okay, that's fine. Find something that does." Like she was very like humble about that. Not like this is exactly the MS. Not this is the way with a capital T and a capital W. And I think that, you know, like different approaches speak to different people. And that I think is, I guess, where if someone is able to plug into their own tuition, then they could hear like that voice within them that says, this approach might work for me and my family.
Right.
As opposed to a different approach that wouldn't work. Because it's like, I feel like, you know, we've discussed this before, Alex. It's typically the wives and the mothers who are going to the courses and not necessarily the tatis, abbas, fathers, daddies, right? And so, like, I know that this is a trap that I 100,000% fell into when I was a younger mother. I would go to the parenting course and I would be like, this is going to solve all my problems.
Right. New sheriff in town.
This is going to make everything better.
New rules. Everybody listen to
and
me.
And of course, my husband.
I am the keeper of the wisdom.
Right. And my husband is very supportive and he is just great. And he did not go to this class with me. And I would come and I would have changed everything over, like rearranged all the furniture of our parenting approach. And I'd be like, no, you can't do that. Like, without thinking like, oh, this is an approach that has to work for everyone in my family. It has to work for my spouse. It has to work for my children. Right. Like it's an
approach that is not just like, I couldn't just come in and like bulldoze. Right,
exactly. And also the
concept that. I tried really hard.
Didn't work, huh?
No.
The concept that there's like, this is the way I try to explain it in my class is like, there's a toolbox and you want to get as many tools as you can into your toolbox because you never know when you're going to need which tool. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going to need this tool for this kid and that tool for another kid, or the same kid might some days respond to this tool and some days respond to that tool, you know? So it's not about there being one brilliant approach that's going to solve all your problems, right? But it's about filling yourself with diverse avenues of wisdom to reach a particular child. And then another thing that I really feel is missing in parenting classes, and this is something we've mentioned here, is that there are no guarantees. If you do this, I'm not going to promise you that things will work out, that your kid will like it, that your kid will do better in school, that your kids will get along and stop fighting, you know? And so a lot of the parenting techniques that I teach are about how to handle it when your kids are fighting, not necessarily to stop the fighting, because that might be like an exercise in futility, but how to handle it internally in yourself, you know, when your kids are fighting, how to handle it internally in yourself when your kids are struggling in school, you know? And so I think that that's, you know, it sort of goes back to what I was saying before about parental support, but it's really more of like this whole cause and effect dynamic that we were talking earlier. Do this and then your kids will do that. Do this and then your kids will behave. Do this and then your kids will go to sleep, you know? And sometimes even the titles of these parenting books, you know, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen.
And listen so your kids will talk. Right. We nailed it.
Right. Just because I talk that way doesn't mean they'll listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I do believe it will raise the odds.
Right.
I don't believe it's a guarantee.
Yeah.
You know? And I think if you look through the advertisements in the firm community too, it's like, you know, how to get your kid to pay attention, finish shots, clean all the toilets, and wash all the dishes before they're 13 years old. Yes, please. I'll sign up for that course. Come on.
You feel like it's too simplistic, a lot of the parenting approaches.
Simplistic. Insinuating promises that can't be kept.
Mm-hmm. Assuming kind of like false hope. Like giving false hope.
Giving false hope. The truth of the matter is that parenting is a supremely messy sport.
Yes.
It's one that has immense capacity for love and joy and nachas. And I think one of the most important things that parenting classes should be teaching is how to enjoy your kid.
Yes.
There's a lot of how to fix them, mm-hmm. you know, do this and spend time. But I want to have fun with my kid. Mm-hmm. If my kid says to me, I want to play spit with you, and the thought of playing spit with my kid is like nails on a chalkboard because they're really good at spit and I'm not and I hate it.
Or I have other stuff to do and I really don't want to carve out time to sit down with this child.
Right? Okay. What's the point? The point is to bond and connect with your kid. Bond and connect with your kid a different way. It doesn't have to be one way. So I just feel like the complexity of parenting is sometimes not addressed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I really like what you were saying before also about nurturing the parent in parenting courses. I mean, this is exactly where my struggle is with parenting courses, even with Bleamy, and it's not Bleamy's fault, but she'll say, you know, try this way in terms of reacting to a response or showing empathy, for example. But I find that sometimes the approach does not take in mind my rage. Emotionally triggered state.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm how do I handle my feelings when I should be showing empathy, but I can just, if I would be lucky if I could even repeat and parrot the words without showing my feeling. Like, I don't even think I could even do that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
How do we handle the parents, you know, because it's all in our hands. Like, how do we handle our own, you know, emotional regulation when it comes to parenting?
And I don't think that parental rage and frankly burnout gets enough attention. Mm,
that's interesting too.
I think people are super ashamed to talk about it, and it's really unpopular.
It's so
parenting. This is
because
what
good parents don't have these negative feelings, Ruchi, right?
But again, it's all about what we can do, how we should respond, all about us and like controlling the situation. No, let's step back.
That's right. And I think there's such a pressure, and this is also something I tell young parents. There's such a pressure to get it all right, mm-hmm. to be this amazing mother and this amazing wife and to make these amazing foods and to be this amazing community member and do all these things. And like, it's just not real.
Right.
You know, we will struggle. Kids will give us the greatest capacity for love I mean, you know, when you go into your kids' rooms at night and you look at them sleeping in their adorable little yummy pajamas, mm-hmm. you know, and you're like, oh, Hashem, this is the biggest gift you ever gave me. And there's no describing that joy and that love, no describing it, that same human being could make you so furious and vengeful and say things that you would never admit to your closest friend, right? Nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, right.
Nobody's talking about that. That's real.
And burnout, you know, I think burnout is real. Woman, you can have one child and experience burnout. You could have seven children. I don't think it's about the amount of children.
Really?
I think we have so much on our plates as moms.
Yeah.
I've never honestly even like considered that. Like, I think you put a name to it. Like, I really haven't even ever heard that this discussed in parenting.
Yeah. It's because, again, I think it's so, it almost feels un-Jewish.
Uh-huh.
You start davening for kids.
Like, it's just chayal, like burnout.
All of it. We, you know, kids are the biggest bracha, and it's such a simcha and mazel tov. And I mean, what could be a greater simcha? That same being should burn you out? It feels ungrateful to admit that, you know? The thing with parental burnout, and let's face it, kids, and we love them more than we love ourselves, they take everything out of us. Everything, our minds, our brain cells, our money, our sleep, our focus, our attention, everything, you know, and as parents, I'm saying mothers and fathers, there's a lot to us. We have things we want to do. We have things we want to accomplish. We have hopes and dreams and ambitions. When I was a younger mother, my dream was to go to Target alone. And it was an unattainable dream, you know? And if I did go by myself, I was like, I have half hour.
Exactly.
You know, what should I do? Should I go to the bathroom or should I go to Target?
don't get to walk around any extra aisle. You stick to the
no extra aisle.
Exactly.
Right? So now my kids are older. I can go to Target by myself. You know, I have more time for self-actualization, right? But there is such a toll. And I think a lot of parents feel resentful about that toll. And they don't talk about that because it's embarrassing that we feel resentful. You brought this child into the world. Mm. You're raising this child to be an amazing Jew. You feel resentful of this. Do you know how many people are davening for this gift that you feel resentful about? Right? But that's toxic. That's toxic positivity.
Right, that's right.
You know, yes, I love these kids. And yes, I'm so grateful for them. And yes, I thank Hashem for them every single day. Also, I'm burned out. You know, and when it comes to burnout, if you read up on burnout, you know, you're burned out from your job. You leave your job. You're burned out from this activity or responsibility. Figure out a way to change the activity or the responsibility. But when it comes to kids, you stay. Mm-hmm. You stay and you stay and you stay. Mm-hmm. And as they get older, you know, the responsibilities change and the factors change. But the bottom line is, and I don't think I really got this when I became a parent. I don't think anybody gets this. When you become a parent for the rest of your life. Mm. For the rest of your life. And that means that you need to be there because guess what? I am 48 years old and I still need my mommy to be proud of me.
Mm. Yeah.
So my kids will need me. Now, I am the kind of person who doesn't love to be needed. Some people are great with it, really. Some people even like it. I am not one of those people. So I have had to really, that doesn't make me a faulty mother. That doesn't make me a broken mother whose warranty expired. Mm. It makes me a mother that Hashem made. Hashem made me with my personality and he gave me my kids. And nothing gives me greater joy than hanging out with my kids. I love it. Also, it sometimes takes my kishkas out.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's exactly it, like kind of holding these truths and knowing ourselves and being compassionate with ourselves and knowing our strengths and knowing our weaknesses. Because if we cling so tightly to the idea of this is how parenting should feel, this is how I should feel as a mother, I'm doing air quotes because you can't see the air quotes because it's a podcast, but I'm doing the quotes, you shouldn't have these negative feelings. And if we deny them, then we're not going to get unburnt out and we're not going to be able to actually move into that place where you say, I have strengths as a mother and I have weaknesses as a mother because Hashem made me human and I have some things I'm good at and some things
I'm
not. And that's okay. And then you can move forward into like the, you know, the sunset, the beautiful future of like, this is who I am as a mother and this is who my kids are. And let's all dance together in a way that can be beautiful while not ignoring the things that are hard, but also not being overwhelmed and consumed by the things that are hard, right. That we could also enjoy the things that are pleasurable because they are cute when they're sleeping. They're so cute.
Yeah, and even when they're not sleeping, they're super cute. You know, sometimes when we're getting ready to go to bed, all the kids will come into our room and just sit around and schmooze. Aww. And I'm like, I love this so much. I love it. It's just so, so nice, you know? And I feel like that's the part that's depicted in all the sweet little videos. Mommy's lighting candles and the little girl is standing next to her waving her hands. And I'm not saying that's a lie. I'm just saying there's a lot more to that story.
Right. You know? It's not the whole picture.
And I think what you were saying, Rifki, is a big part of accepting our imperfections. It just goes back. I think as mothers, we sometimes jump into heroics mode. Mm. My kid is suffering, and more than fathers. And then that's a whole other discussion, how parenting affects shown bias.
Yeah, yeah.
I think mothers consider themselves the keeper of the wisdom when it comes to their kids.
Right.
That's a whole, we are the ones taking the parenting.
Come back, please.
Ball of wax.
Let's talk about that next time.
I would love to do that. But my point is, like, of course I'm going to go to every single therapist within my geographical area who deals with this issue because I am a good mother. Mm. And I think, you know, this is a concept that was popularized by Dr. Donald Winnicott, a British psychologist, good enough parenting. Mm-hmm. I think because as Jews, we want to be so good at everything we do because Jews are so ambitious. Mm. And we're so upwardly mobile. Like, we don't want to play sports. We want to own the team, right? We don't want to work in the company. We want to manage the company. We don't want to teach in the school. We want to be the principal. This is Jewish, right? This is in the Parsha. Yosef, he gets into jail. What does he become? He becomes the boss of jail. Mm. This is what Jews do. This is what we've done historically. Right. We become the boss of jail. So I feel like, as Jewish mothers, we're even more like, I'm going to get the top doctor. We'll go to New York to get the best doctor. So I feel like sometimes that works against us in our parenting because we burn ourselves out with this notion that we have to always cross every T and dot every I.
Can I add something here? I do feel that our culture, our from culture, definitely exacerbates this because the standards are high.
Yes.
And we want our kid to make the scene before his bar mitzvah. Right? And we want to make sure he's going to davening 3 times a day. And we want to make sure our daughters look XYZ in terms of their tzinias. Like, it's not like we're just high achievers. The bar is high in terms of what we consider spiritual and social success in the from community.
Right. And I think it's actually very, very wise machanchem and machanchos, and I've met some over the years, who have said to me, it's okay. Don't push them. They'll do it when they're ready. Or they won't.
Right. It's so important to hear that.
It's okay. Don't make a big deal about that outfit or that, this and that, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know that we hear that message enough. Mm-hmm. There is a culture of perfectionism. And so I feel that a big piece of it is that we want to do it right. We want so badly to get it right. And while that's a beautiful midah, every midah can become radicalized. Mm. And I think sometimes we just take that to an unhealthy extreme. So I'm not even saying that it's our kids that burn us out. Mm-hmm. I think we burn ourselves out with this impossible standard that's not sustainable. You know, I think it's sometimes okay to just let down your arms and say, I'm just not going to fix this right now. I actually just want to enjoy my kid. We burn out our kids because we're schlepping them from therapy, to this tutor, to that, to this. What about just having fun? What about doing the things we like to do together? There's no time left for that because we're so busy fixing everything. Mm. I'm getting tired just talking about it.
They're also in school all day. There's not too much time anyway to do anything with them. But yeah, it's
right,
hard.
But then when they come home, it becomes about, and again, talking to myself, did you clean up the bathroom? Did you do your homework? Your laundry's in the laundry room.
Getting through the day.
Right. Yeah. And like enjoying ourselves. I'm speaking for myself. We can rob ourselves of the joy of parenting.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So what's the solution?
That's what it's time for, huh? Uh-huh. Slap my fingers and give the solution. You know, there's a lot of talk now about gentle parenting, right? Mm. It's like a newish approach. I think we really need to be gentle to ourselves. I really do. I'm good enough. Hashem loves me. You know, I'm doing what I can, you know, and I think everybody needs a little more joy interjected into their day.
And whatever that means for you with your kids, like, you know, if you enjoy going out to eat with your kid, then go out to eat. You enjoy going out for a walk, go out for a walk. You enjoy playing a game, play a game. You know, you enjoy going to visit somebody together, whatever it is. Like, I feel like that should be super high up on the priority ladder. You know, just as important as teaching them values. Clean up, do your homework, study for your test, be a good daughter, call your grandmother, you know, help me get ready for Shabbos. Yes, teaching values, that is the main job as a parent. But I think that enjoying your kid has to be way up there. Just figuring out stuff that you both just like to do and just having this natural bonding time, which is not, it's not forced and it's not a teachable moment. And, you know, you're not taking pictures because you want to show other people. It's just for the two of you to enjoy in that moment. Mm. That's like, I don't know. That's like everything.
I love that. And it has to be conscious. Like, we have to make an effort, which is, I think, is the hardest part. Oh, we're used to those routines of really not making an effort. And also, I'd imagine you're supportive of, like, this idea of, you know, taking children one-on-one out for dates, which I don't do. Like, we used to a little bit, but I know I need to do more. Totally. Our kids need that one-on-one attention.
Actually, I'm a big fan of taking kids one-on-one on vacation.
Oh, that's nice.
As opposed to the family vacation.
Wow.
I think family vacations, I'm going to say something bold here. I think they're sort of doomed to failure.
You say it louder for the people in the back.
Winter break is coming up.
You just have a lot of personalities, big range of ages. Again, not saying there isn't a time and a place to do things together as a family. I just think the whole notion has gotten overly romanticized.
Yeah, it is romanticized.
And it's extremely expensive to do that. You're trying to figure out activities that everybody likes. And then, but these kids can't sit together in the car and those kids can't eat the same thing. And then that one always gets on that one's nerves and you're chewing too loud and you're looking at me and stop talking. And why do you exist? And forget it. So over the years, we have moved more towards one-on-one vacations, you know.
So you go on 7 vacations a year, Rachi?
No, God forbid. I go on vacations by myself, too. It's called work trips. I call them my workation. No, who says it has to happen every year?
Ah, okay, good, because I was getting nervous.
Who made that rule? But, like, and it's also different because my kids aren't all on the same schedule now. Like, they're not all in the same school with the same vacation. So, obviously, you know, but I don't know. I think sometimes if you're talking about a two-parent house, like, the mother can take some of the kids somewhere and the father can take some of the kids somewhere else. Right. Like, set it up for success. You know, I think we also have this notion, the family should vacation together. This is what healthy families do. You know what I mean? But if everyone's going to hate it, then why? You know, one year we decided we were taking all our kids to Disney. We got invited to speak in Orlando. And we were like, we're taking all the kids to Disney. We were like,
I remember this.
You know, and this is like martyrdom. I am taking my kids. I don't even want to go to Disney. And the prices are so expensive. And they have a million and one rules for how you have to buy the tickets and you can't share the tickets. And the tickets are like your social security number. Yes, it's ridiculous. 6 out of my 7 kids hated it.
Oh, no.
And left after an hour.
Oh, no.
And those were expensive tickets.
Oh, gosh. 6
out of 7.
So that really cured me.
Wow. Yeah.
Of that was notion. Yeah. You know, and then I'm like, if my youngest daughter has vacation, I wanted to find out what she wants to do. And I'll just do what she wants to do. That's going to be a fun vacation.
Right.
And your kids are old enough that you can sort of disappear with one. I mean, that may not work for every family.
Exactly. Right. It might not work for every stage. But I'm saying sometimes with a little creativity, it actually can. Mm. The point is, here's the thing. The point of a vacation is not to satisfy some notion of what a real family vacation looks like. All the people, all the time, doing all the things together.
Well said.
Right? I think that a successful family vacation is where people enjoy spending time together. And that doesn't mean that they're going to enjoy spending time together the whole time, because obviously the Airbnb isn't going to be what you thought, and then it's going to rain, and then you're going to go to this much vaunted restaurant, and they're going to be out of French fries. Okay, that stuff happens. Okay?
Or it'll be like a 45,000-minute wait.
True. That too. But again, we're talking about raising the odds. If I go on vacation with two kids who generally like the same thing and who generally like each other, we're going to have a great time, you know, and even if everything doesn't work out, we're going to have enough laughs and enough good times. Like, I think sometimes we try to force solutions. Mm-mm.
I think sometimes we're not looking for solutions even.
Right.
Like, I think what you're suggesting here is a real solution. We want to raise the odds. We want to make this work. How can we think creatively? And who cares what other people are doing? And who cares about what other people think? Let's just figure out what works for
our
family.
And who cares that all the people aren't on this vacation?
Right.
Why is, like, that a prerequisite for perfection? Why did somebody say that? I think what goes across the board here, what I'm trying to say, is that every parent really has to look at their own family and say, what's going to work for my family? What's going to raise the odds of us enjoying one another? Mm. Like, that's such an important goal. What do we want? We want our kids to look back and have positive memories, right? My parents cared about me. They took us places. You know, every now and then the kids will pull out the old albums and look through stuff. And I'm like, oh, we're really good parents. We did that and that and that.
I love that.
You know, because then you beat yourself up in the moment, you know. Right. And then my kids will be like, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. And that was so much fun. That's the point. You want to create bonds. You want to create connections. You want to show them that you care about them. You want to show them that you invested in them. So do it to raise the odds of success for your family. Mm. Every family is so different. Doesn't, like, yeah, this whole, again, we go back to the standard of perfection. The perfect family goes to this perfect vacation, to this perfect place. Blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just thinking about how, like, I'm just taking it away from vacation and back to, like, just in our own homes. Like, how can we spend more time enjoying our own children? You know? And right. I was just thinking about, and this is, like, this is nothing that hasn't been said before by people greater than me, but, like, just the idea of, like, putting my phone down and, like, watching my kids, like, Chinese yo-yo trick, you know? Like, watching it, right. You know? Like, what, like, really just, like, being there. I started doing something with one of my kids where Between Carpools has this Between You and Me book that has, like, the most, like, random and hysterical questions in this book. It's, like, just all these, like, question after question for every single day of the year. And, like, we just did a few of them a night. It doesn't take so much mind power, like brain power,
right.
And it is enjoyable. Yeah. But like until like how we've had this book for a long time, like, and I've had this kid for even longer. And it's like, until I figured out that that was something that I could do, that was like, had that I had enough energy for it. I feel right. Like that's always the thing that I get tripped up on. Is that like, by the time, I always have such high hopes when they come home from school, high hopes. Like, today is going to be the day. It's going to be family bonding day. And then, like, I just get very overwhelmed by everyone, you know, but you immediately see, asking me things all at the same
this
time.
This is going to be family bonding day.
Yeah.
That's like this perfectionistic goal. Do you know what I mean?
It's too big.
Too big.
Well, okay. So I'm not, so that this is also like hyperbole, like, because I'm not necessarily thinking that, like, at the moment, but like, this is the day when I would like to give more attention to my kids.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, yeah, that, maybe that's a more, yeah, accurate way of saying it. Of that, just, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, but I mean, like, I am guilty of perfectionism on a big level, so like, it's for sure like something that I'll put a very high bar for myself of, like, yeah, what do I want to accomplish.
And
like,
I think it's important that when you think about an activity that you enjoy with your kids, it shouldn't just be something they enjoy, it should be something you enjoy, yeah, too,
right?
Because otherwise it's just back to martyrdom.
Exactly. And then you won't have, like, if it's something that you yourself enjoy, then you will have that burst of energy, and then, correct, you will want to make
and
time.
You'll be like, oh my gosh, let's do this, it's so much fun, let's,
right.
I love, 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 love watching my girls dance, and they love, so love, cute, love to dance and have me watch them dance. So, like, they'll be like, sit on the couch, we made up a dance. And all of a sudden, I'll be like, oh my gosh, it was so good, do it again, do it again. Like, no one, I don't have to tell myself, come on, Ruchi, be a good parent, make yourself watch them dance. I love it. And they know that I love it.
Right. It's funny you say that. I was thinking that I love watching my 3-year-old eat. It's like a cute.
That's so cute.
And I always loved watching him as a baby in the high chair, just the process of this little thing enjoying food. But here we go. This is very passive experience. We're not trying. We're just sitting and watching. And we're enjoying
it. But we're loving it.
And we're loving, yeah, it.
And giving them the
and
attention.
And it's a small thing. Yeah.
But it's not passive because, like, my phone is away. I'm watching. Yeah. I'm smiling. I'm like.
But we don't have to try too hard. We could just enjoy
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Just enjoy it. Be there. And I think that maybe is, and I'm glad you mentioned this, Rifki, and brought this back as we wrap up this conversation, to be mindful, be aware, just be open our eyes a little bit more. And just see what our children are doing and see and just love them for who they are. And,
right.
And, you know, just the everyday shenanigans.
Yeah. And
I'll watch them.
I'll mention one more thing. I think a big part of parenting is bonding with our kids where they are at. You know, so just like being curious about, well, what are you reading? What are you looking at? What are you watching? What are you, yeah, thinking? You know, and just kind of getting, tell me about this Chumash test that's coming up. And just sort of being curious about their world, you know. And some kids don't like to talk, but they like to show.
Yeah.
You know? And just getting into their world and just being curious, letting them be your teacher.
I love that. Yeah. And showing our children that we care about them. We're taking the time to ask them questions because, right, we care about their lives.
Right.
I think that, talk about building self-esteem in children that will last forever. It's that we care. And, you know, we teach our children to ask about each,
right,
other.
That they matter enough to us that we want to,
that's
that
right,
we want to know what
we actually
want to
talk to them.
Exactly. I'm so sad to come to the end of this DMC. Like, I would just do this all day. We always ask at the end of every interview, like, if our listeners want to explore, like, to further explore some of the things that we've talked about, what are some books or speaker recommendations that you would like to share with our audience?
Okay. So first of all, I wrote a book called Soul Construction, and it's about different character traits that a person could work on. And while it's not about parenting specifically, because I didn't want to limit the focus, but the tools in there are very, very helpful for parenting. It's about forgiveness. It's about accepting others. It's about generosity. It's about when to speak and when to stay silent. It's about finding happiness. And it's about renewal, coming back from our mistakes. So there's a lot of messages in that book that are very, like, I'm very passionate about, some of which have come up today. So I think that if a parent is reading that book through the lens of parenting, I think they'll find a lot of powerful examples of the things that we talked about. I will recommend Rabbi Russell's book, even though I have not read it yet, because I love every single syllable that comes out of his mouth, and I trust him implicitly. So I think whatever he might have said in that book is probably gold. So I think that's super powerful. He talks about how he became transformed as a parent of struggling kids.
They just had like a feature on him in Mishpacha. It was excellent.
Right. Yeah.
What's the name of that book?
I forgot.
Okay. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes. Yeah.
I just feel better that you forgot too. That was worth it.
I didn't actually even read the feature in Mishpacha magazine because it was a busy Shabbos. What else? So I have a podcast. I have actually two podcasts. One is a short Parsha podcast through Momentum. The other one, which is just Ruchi Kovel, is my weekly Musar class. And I weave in a lot of parenting examples in there because that is my life. And it touches on really, like, in the sense of Musar, it touches on every character trait we might be struggling with, right? With anger, with patience, with kindness, with forgiveness. It's all there. So that's also something that people might find useful or helpful.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Ruchi, for coming on over to our house. Like, what is it? 30 seconds away. Thank you, Ruchi, for coming over here from the other side of town. And
yes, the other side of town, which is 10 minutes.
Seven. But it's great to all be under one roof. And I mean, we could continue this DMC once we press ends of the recording, because I have so much that I would love to continue to discuss. And we want to have you back too about that marriage and parenting, because all of these questions just beg to be asked.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I feel like we covered a lot of ground here. I love that we were able to look at this topic, parenting, from the perspective of, you know, what we feel is missing, because we're not bashing, we're not criticizing, you know, those people who are in the field who are teaching. Like, we are all gaining, but I think it's just so important to, you know, to really think critically about, like, what is it that we need? And then when we can figure out what it is that we need and what we feel is missing, we can try to continue to educate ourselves and fill us up, you know, so we could be better parents.
Yes.
So thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's do a little follow-up for that jam-packed episode
with Ruchi.
It was a great discussion.
Yeah.
I'd like to focus on two of my favorite parts of this episode. Number one, she discussed how one of the main things she feels is missing from parenting classes is the focus on the parents. Like, how we as parents, with our feelings and our emotional state and our physical and emotional needs, it's often left out of parenting classes.
Yes.
And, you know, like, you can read about how to have empathy, for example, but, like, if you're not feeling it, you can just say the words, but it's not going to be effective.
Right.
And parenting takes two to tango. And yes, we need to talk about, you know, nurturing parents, not just nurturing and raising children.
Right. Exactly. Like, we are part of the process.
Oh, yeah. And secondly, you know, after this episode, just my main, like, feeling of gratitude towards Ruchi is just this nugget that I so appreciated, which is to remind ourselves to find the joy in your parenting. And, like, remember, it's not always going to feel joyful, but there are these glimpses and moments where you're going to feel joy. And also pay attention to those, because if you're on your phone and you're not looking at your children and you're not aware of your
hypothetically
you're speaking, avoiding your children, you're going to miss all those moments. And, you know, it's the joy that gets us through. It's the joy that reminds us what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I just needed that reminder to be just more aware and conscious of that. So thank you, Ruchi, for that.
Absolutely. That reminds me of one of my favorite parts of the conversation, which was when Ruchi had mentioned, like, that we should, like, enjoy and not just try to fix. Like, this, I really, really needed to hear that message. Because I, you know, whatever. Like, I'm my desire to quote unquote fix is always coming from like, I want my children's lives to be good. I want them to have the best chance at having the best life. And if they just maybe like, they just stop doing that thing or they start doing the other thing. And I was like, oh no, I have to like start getting out of fixing mode and getting into enjoyment mode. Exactly. Finding that joy.
And they may not also, Roche's, one of her messages is in terms of the perfectionist, like they may not have the best. They may not have the best life. They may not have the best day.
And it's okay.
It's okay.
Oh my gosh.
Keep our expectations a little lower.
So much work to do. And don't we all that, like
it's, don't we all. Yeah,
that's true. Please send us emails telling us that we're not alone. And also just the idea of like embracing our imperfections, of just really just knowing who we are and being okay with that. Obviously still working on ourselves, but you know, not in like a, it must happen or everything's going to be a disaster sort of way, but just like a, this is the avoda of my, like of Hashem put us into the world to do a tikkun and to raise these children and to just embrace that it's going to be messy. And to just like really trust our intuition, which, you know, like for anyone out there who maybe like at a younger parenting stage, you'd be like, but I can't trust my intuition yet, Rivki and Alex. Mm. Like it takes time. Mm-hmm. And like just sitting and being okay with that like it takes time, and then it's always evolving. I feel like there's no like point where you're like, oh, now I can just sit back and relax, because our children are always evolving and growing, and like they will be adult children, and then we'll have in-law children. There's like it's never ending. You know, it's always going to be evolving, and our intuition is we have to like check back in, and it's like, but just to know that it's there, that Hashem gave us intuition. And,
oh yeah.
And that it's something to, yeah, exactly.
And it's, I think it's developed and honed through trial and error.
100%. Yeah, exactly.
So it's just going to take a lot of mistakes for us to start hearing our voice and understanding.
Right. And I think with each new phase of life, like, you know, when you enter the teen phase or when you enter the adult children phase, right, or when your children have their own adult lives, like, I feel like that's when our intuition gets shaky again. We're like, but now I don't know what to do. And so then true. We have to like remind ourselves, no, I am competent. Hashem gave me these children for a reason. And right, we'll just go forward and we'll learn these new skills, right, and we'll ask advice and we'll get more tools in our parenting toolbox.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now it's the time for this episode's takeaway. There's an amazing array of parenting classes out there, but no one course or method will work for every child and every parent. We may feel things are missing from our parenting education, but remember that learning on the job is part of the process. Learn to trust your intuition and keep reading and learning to find new tools for your parenting toolbox.
Finally, we are so grateful that Town Appliance has partnered with us to promote our podcast this year. And we are so excited to let everyone know about them. Town Appliance is really the go-to appliance store, serving thousands of customers since 1979. That's like from before I existed.
Don't tell everyone your age.
You can check out their gorgeous showrooms in Lakewood, Cedarhurst, and Baltimore. But if you live out of town like us, don't worry. They ship. And you'll get the same individualized customer service that they're known for, just over the phone, walking you through step by step to address your appliance needs. So check out their website, www.townappliance.com. We'll put it in the show notes. You can also order whatever appliance you're looking for online. This is just such a win all around. Mm-hmm. So when you were in the market for your next appliance, thank Town Appliance, the obvious choice.
We'd also like to give a big thank you to 24/6 for sponsoring today's episode of DMC. We're so happy to promote your wonderful product. And I think it's safe to say, Rivki, and we've heard it before, that technology is one of the biggest challenges of our generation.
Indeed.
And we want to have access to kosher entertainment for ourselves and for our children. It's so hard to filter out what we don't want to see on streaming platforms.
Yes.
Now all that's changed, which is incredible. 24/6 has created what we've really needed all this time, which is the first on-demand media platform for the Jewish family. That means that you can watch Jewish videos, listen to Jewish music, and your favorite podcasts either on one special 24/6 device called the Family Player or via the app on your smartphone. All the content is filtered, vetted, and customizable. This is truly a game changer for all of us who appreciate good Jewish content but want it our way, safe, and in line with our values. You'll find all the info you need about 24/6 linked in our show notes.
All right, let's talk about what is coming up on our next episode of DMC. we're going to be sitting down with Jackie Glazer to talk all about living life on purpose and developing yourself, which is like one of my favorite topics ever. Jackie is a life coach, a dating coach, a leadership developer, and she was the resident psychologist at the Today Show in Australia.
So cool.
So cool. This episode is full of deep, profound, and practical insights for anyone interested in self-improvement and accessing your greatness. So we really hope you join us for this DMC.
And by the way, everyone, we have a new email. You can reach out to us at dmcthepodcast@gmail.com. Rifki, how did you score that awesome email address?
I typed in what was available.
Right. As always, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you to all our listeners who have taken the time to rate and review Deep Meaningful Conversations. If you haven't yet, please take a minute, leave us a brief review or a long review, and just click all those stars. It's super easy.
Yes, just the five right there.
Just the five.
Click the five.
Rifki and I would really appreciate it. See you next episode.